Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, something decides to join a listener on a hospital elevator. It's always the last place you really want to have something show up. In Area's unfortunate history seemingly comes to life in a girl's bedroom one night. A listener sees something so terrifying that she faints from the sight, and an orb continues to show itself during family pictures and videos. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. Are you getting over the scurvy?
I am. I'm on antibiotics, but it's okay.
It helps. Yeah. Scurvy away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to take. People are going to, did she really have scurvy?
No.
The scurvy is not something you get. It's not like, you know, like, oh, they have scurvy. Now you have scurvy.
I don't know.
I believe it's like a deficiency.
I think
something.
So. I only know of it in terms of Oregon Trail.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Scurvy and dysentery.
Uh-huh.
Those are ones you don't want.
Right.
Because a lot of people die of dysentery. I do want to get that Oregon Trail card game.
That'd be fun.
I think that'd be very fun to teach the children about.
Sure.
More so dysentery than anything else, but it would be fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. And they still grow up going, I'm not quite sure how you get that, but something to do with Oregon Trail.
Sure.
So it works. Let's get to our first story today. It comes into us from Beth, and Beth writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm an EPP, love the show. You recently read my story about my dream that my sister knocked on my door saying she was leaving her husband. You wanted to know if that happened. I am happy to say that was in 1999, and they're still married and have produced two beautiful children. Now, I'd like to share a couple of short stories about my parents. My mother died of cancer in 2007. She went into hospice and passed while in the hospital. My father and I were there. We called my sister. She had planned taking the overnight vigil by Mom's bed and had run home to catch a nap. So the whole family was there to see Mom off to the funeral home. By the time we prepared to leave the hospital, we were all sort of numb and punch drunk, as you can imagine. We were on the fifth floor of the hospital, so all of us, Dad, me, my sister, her husband, and my three-year-old niece, who was also unusually quiet, made our way to the elevator bank and pressed the down arrow. Another couple walks up before the elevator arrives, and we all board the elevator to go down to the lobby. The elevator dings, the doors close, car actually starts to move and then stops. The doors reopen to an empty hallway. The elevator dings, the doors close, and it starts to descend. The lady, who was a stranger to us, says someone we can't see just got on this elevator. I have no doubt that Mom went home with us that evening. The second story, my dad passed in 2014. Both my parents were cremated and now share an urn. My dad loved children, but none so much as his grandchildren. My sister's son and daughter, Sarah, my sister, and her family now live in my parents' house. You know, a tiny bit of history. My mother was a great lover of clothes and shoes, so she took up the entire master closet. My dad kept his clothes and things in one of the spare rooms. We always called it Dad's room. That room now belongs to my 3-year-old nephew. My sister says she frequently sees the shadow of a man standing close to Lucas's crib. She's no doubt it is our dad. She said that she thought it might be just a shadow cast by the furniture, but they have rearranged the room and she often still sees him there. So it seems like Mom left the hospital with us, but we have seen no sign of her. My dad might have while he was alive, but he would not have mentioned it to us. But Dad is still watching out for his grandson. Thanks for reading, Beth in East Tennessee.
Okay, so do you think that you have a higher instance of having a haunting when you have somebody that you love cremated and then keep their remains?
I suppose no more than if you buried them in the basement.
Okay.
Which, you know, obviously it's much more common to keep the remains in an urn. I don't think it necessarily matters the state at that point. But I guess you would probably check the box and then probably slightly increase your odds.
Because I was just wondering with the setup, meaning the fact that the little boys in the room that they used to call, you know, Dad's room or mm-hmm. whatever, and the familiarity of everything, if that plus knowing that the loved one's still technically in the house kind of makes it
mm-hmm.
a little more comfortable for their spirit to come back.
I can see that. I mean, sometimes it's the comfort level of that sort of a setup, the familiarity
uh-huh.
that brings things back in. So I could see that being a factor. I will say this. Maybe I'm just a novice on urns and cremation,
mm-hmm.
and I apologize for that. A lot of my family gets buried. There's a couple of cremations, but I'd say majority have been buried that I'm aware of.
Sure.
So that's where I'm a novice. I don't know that I've heard of mixing the two ashes together.
Okay, that kind of... I hadn't heard of that either.
Maybe that's a common thing, or I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that.
I don't know.
It seems interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to be mixed with me?
Well...
We could create an amazing cereal.
Ew.
Ash cereal. You could literally get Tony and Jenny in a box at that point.
That's just gross.
Someone could order it.
That's just gross.
We'll have the contest now for someone to win Tony and Jenny in a box. And then someday when we die, it'll be in our will that our children have to mix the ashes together and then ship them off to whoever won the contest in 2016. And that person probably won't even be around either. And then some random person's kid gets a box.
Uh-huh.
And we'll make it look like a cereal box. We'll put like even a prize inside.
Instead of Wheaties, it says Brewskies.
Brewskies, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then big smiling our faces on there with like an Olympic gold medal. I don't know why we'd have that, but we would because it's like Wheaties.
Because we're so athletic.
Yeah, well, it's like Wheaties. They
yeah.
put like, and then, but there's still a prize inside the box.
Ew.
So you still have to dig in to find. And the prize is a bunk bed bill.
Okay.
That's.
That is so disturbing.
It's a new level.
Yeah.
Of disturbing right there. If you want to win us, here's what you do. I'm kidding.
No.
I wonder if anyone's ever given away. And I bet this has happened. I bet in an antique store at some point or another. I've seen urns at antique stores, empty urns.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's been that happen where someone puts the urn in the antique store. You know, they get it from whoever. You know, and it's just been sitting. They never really inspect it much. It's just, oh, here's a bunch of stuff I'm going to sell and put on the shelf. And I bet somebody has opened one, and I bet there's been ashes.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to the... Not with any intent. Like, I'm not trying to sell Uncle Louie. It's just...
It's happened.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That would be disturbing.
Yeah.
Look at this beautiful vase I got, and you bring it home. Or is it vase?
Vase. I think...
I say vase.
I'm leery of the vases that have lids.
That's a great quote. I'm leery of the vases that have lids.
Yeah.
Jenny Brewski. I like that. That's good. And you should be.
Yeah.
Because you never quite know if it's just a vase or an urn. Because
mm-hmm.
anything could really be an urn. May writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's May again. I've written in a couple of stories, such as the Savannah home I seem to experience another time or past life. And as always, I've been enjoying listening. I finally work a job where I can listen with headphones. I've enjoyed listening to Jason's," I think that's his name, "stories, and can definitely verify that those mounds he referred to are unsettling. As a kid, I was forced to constantly go on field trips there, and I was always miserable, feeling really unwelcome there. Anyways, I wanted to share a story from when I was about 11 or 12 years old. My family bought a newly built home on about 2 acres near Warner Robins, Georgia. The acreage was on an old pecan grove, totally overgrown with impossible to kill kudzu." I don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
Must be some sort of weed.
Yeah.
"So my dad did a typical dad would do, pour gasoline and lighter fluid all over the place and raise it. My family is very religious to this day, and I have learned that talking about what I saw or heard or knew would get me nowhere. When I was very young, I spent many nights forced to go back to bed, absolutely terrified by the things I had seen. So I kept quiet. During this period of burning everything, I felt really uncomfortable on the back portion of the acreage. It became apparent that things had definitely been burned there before. I remember finding chunks of charcoal from where large areas had been burned and lots of bones. Some were definitely large cattle bones. Then we began to find railroad ties and other large pieces of rusted metal here and there for unknown purposes. Came to find out a railroad ran right through this area of our land. Other than this, I know nothing about the area. As I mentioned, the house was new. Soon I began to have uncomfortable feelings in the house, mainly that we did not belong there. I felt watched in the bathroom. I always kept my closet shut and hung items over both doorknobs to prevent their swinging open at night. As I hated my room, I slept in my siblings' playroom instead. Woke up one night to my hair being touched. I reached out and clearly felt someone's arm next to me. I cut the light on and nothing was there, but I could still feel this arm up to the crook of the elbow to where it stopped. I felt distinctly like it wanted to frighten me and slept on the couch instead. In this place, I also saw a stick man. This is what I'd always heard it called. I think shadow people and stick men are one and the same, I'm not sure, but a very tall, darker-than-dark void person run across the garage. My worst experience still confuses me to this day. I woke up one night because I was sliding off the bed. I was using my feet for leverage, halfway asleep, to try to stay on the bed. My hands were digging into the mattress, which was beginning to tip at a 45-degree angle. A 6-foot African-American bald man was at the foot of my bed. His fists were anchored, sinking into the foot of the angled mattress, pushing downward, where he was sort of standing in a black void. Shackles wrapped around his wrists, from which chains clanked on the sides of the shackles as he pressed hard. His eyes were glowing red. I sensed if I slid down towards him, I would definitely die. I can still remember how I had fistfuls of my white comforter trying to shut up the mattress. I knew deeply somewhere inside of me that this being had been enslaved or created by it, and that he absolutely hated me and wanted to kill me. I tearfully murmured prayers, begging God to help me. I knew that I had to fight and tell it forcefully to go, and I did. "Leave me alone. You will leave now," I yelled, and it did. My bed literally fell back to the floor, and it was gone. I was covered in sweat. This felt like an eternity, but honestly probably lasted all of several minutes. I ran out of my room and slept on my couch. I was too young to understand that regardless of what my parents thought, I should have still told them, but they probably wouldn't have believed me. I remember how sore I felt the next day and didn't sleep at all that night. I've always wondered if that was the spirit of a demonic entity and why it came for me. It never showed up again. Growing up in the South, we are all aware of slavery, but I don't know that I fully understood the history at that point. Later in life, I did tell my friend Anne, mentioned before in the story, another story about this, but no one else, because I was embarrassed by the context and nature of the entity being slave-like in nature. I didn't want everyone to really think I was insane. I continue to have minor paranormal experiences there. As always, would love your feedback. Keep up the excellent work. P.S. I so enjoy the Scottish scientists you recently had on.
It makes you wonder if maybe this ghost, if it was indeed a slave ghost, just was confused as to who she was, thinking it was somebody who was around a long time ago.
Well, sure. I mean, I think a lot of times you see that where people don't really realize if they're dead what their time period is in mm-hmm. anymore. And if that's the case, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
It also makes you wonder, too, if there's just so much, you know, pain and hurt and struggle and sadness in that area, that also could attract or conjure in other things that maybe not necessarily were ever even human.
Yeah.
That just such negative energy created something completely different all into itself. It's hard to know, but definitely an experience that I don't think any of us would ever want to have. Josh writes in, before I start this story, I want to share my personal information. My name's Josh. I'm 18. I live in a small village called Apley Bridge in the town of Wigan in the northwest area of England. I live with my parents and two dogs, Tinkerbell and Oscar, in the quiet street called Moore Avenue, and suffer from a rare disease called, I hope I don't mess this up, I apologize, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I'm not sure if I got the right word correct, the first word correct, which means my muscles and joints are weak and I'm confined to an electric wheelchair. One night during the Christmas period and one day after I broke up from college for the holidays, I was finding it hard to sleep. I stayed awake listening to the radio on my smart TV. I dropped back off to sleep for 10 minutes and I was awoken by something floating on my bedroom ceiling. I didn't know it was what it was at first until my eyes adjusted to the light of my tensor lamp that I saw something that has haunted me that night forward. A big cloud of just blackness entered my vision and it was nearly covering the entire ceiling. It was then that I felt my breath being suffocated from my airway. And the feeling of dread and true terror flooded my emotions and thoughts, and I was unable to move at all. This is when my body function and movement came back, and I screamed for my dad to come downstairs to help console me and tell me what I had just witnessed. It then ceased. The moment my dad set foot in the room and has not come back. This experience has changed me as a person and has made depressed and paranoid when it's dark and has affected my college work and my relationships with close family. I've always believed in the paranormal, but that, to sum it up, made me understand of this topic deeper. The cause of this experience was my dad, who was mentally ill, having massive fights with my mom, and it made a bad atmosphere. By the way, keep the good true ghost stories coming, Tony and Jenny. You are amazing.
I think definitely enough bad energy can attract things. And then if you have an illness on top of that, I could see that being a reason for something to come and then having a, you know, sleep paralysis type episode.
Because it's trying to prey on someone.
Yeah.
With an illness or anything that it would view as a weakness of some sort. And unfortunately, we hear that a lot of unfortunately folks like that being targets. So I think he called it pretty much as to what happened. Here's what happened and why it happened.
Sure.
I think you're right on there. So thank you for the story and thanks for being a listener. We greatly appreciate that. Tabitha writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I wanted to first start off by thanking you guys for this awesome show. It's an excellent outlet for those such as myself to come forward and tell their creepy and crazy experiences. This experience happened to me in the mid to late fall of last year when I had to stay really late after school to finish a project as well as written thesis for another class. Wasn't until about 8:30 p.m. I'd finally finished up my work for the evening and decided I would walk home, which wasn't too far, only about 3.5 mile walk through some wooded area, which also happens to have a walking biking trail that cuts through a more wooded area. The night was pretty cold. Cool fall crisp chill was in the air, and I was walking, and I noticed up ahead, no more than 25 feet in front of me, was a tall, dark figure. Mind you, nobody else but me and this other person were on the trail. Noticed he was wearing a black trench coat and a top hat. First, I thought really nothing of it, just another stranger, presumably walking home alone as well. As I began to catch up to this person or this figure, I give him a friendly hello. Big mistake. He didn't seem to acknowledge me at all until I said, "It's pretty chilly tonight, isn't it?" I was trying to make some conversation because I don't particularly like an awkward silence. As soon as I said that, he looked up at me. And when he did, I could feel my stomach drop and my heart sink. Every hair on me stood on end as I could feel my color and the color to my face drain. This figure, I wouldn't even call it human, looked up at me with glowing red eyes and a face that I could best describe as had been severely burned or had hot grease thrown on it. I backed away slowly and began to power walk ahead of this thing that's when I heard it. The loudest blood-curdling screams and moans I've heard coming from it, and that's when it began to chase me. I began to run faster than I ever had, but this thing, this demonic figure, was faster and I couldn't outrun it. As soon as it caught up to me, I blacked out. Several hours later, I awoke in the hospital with my parents on the side of my bed. As I came to ask them what the hell happened, they told me that the doctor said I passed out from being severely dehydrated. When I asked how I got to the hospital, they told me that another student happened to be walking home, saw me lying unresponsive in the middle of the trail, and called 911. I didn't mention to my parents or the doctors what I had seen that night because I knew they would dismiss it as a hallucination. I know what I encountered, and it was not from this world. To this day, I just thinking about what happened gives me chills, and I can still hear those blood-curdling screams and moans echoing in my head. I did some research on the encounter, and what I found disturbed me. Apparently, there's a demonic entity known as the Hat Man, or some people call it the Shadow Person, which can appear from time to time to certain people. Unfortunately, I was one of those people. If you ever encounter him, do not acknowledge his presence. Just keep going. Say an Our Father and a Hail Mary. Thanks for reading. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm a proud EPP, love your show, and hope it continues to succeed greatly. Thanks again, Tabitha.
I think it's almost not fair when you have an experience and then you faint, or they have some reason, they being like doctors and family, have some reason, oh, well, you were severely dehydrated, or you had bumped your head earlier in the day or something. You know, when you know, and possibly somebody else may know too, that you actually had a paranormal experience, but you can't, you know, you can't share that because it's going to be just automatically written off as whatever illness that may or may not have, you know, been attributed to that experience.
Sure, it's just automatically dismissed and debunked no matter what.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you're dehydrated, you hallucinated the whole thing. You know, sure, one could to try and argue that, but the people who have had these things happen to them, they know full well beyond that it was not that.
Yeah.
And that's where our show comes in. Mm-hmm. It's the community where you can share these things and not have them dismissed so easily. So thank you for sharing that experience with us, Tabitha. Sure, she's an EPP. She's listened to the show a time or two and probably aware that she's not alone in having those sort of experiences. So thank you for writing that in. If you want to write in your ghost stories, you can do it on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go over to John. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is John. I live in at Adena, California. Just came an EPP. Remember this week, my family experienced a few strange things at our previous house in Pasadena, California. We moved into an older craftsman-style house in northwest Pasadena in 2001. Not too sure of the year built, but I would speculate the 1940s. The house was renovated prior to us moving in, so we were pretty excited to move in onto our new home. After a few months living in the home, my older daughter, which was about 5 at the time, now 19, would complain to my wife and I that she couldn't sleep because of a boy that kept pinching her. Her being 5, we figured she had a nightmare of some sort. This wouldn't happen every night, but she would complain about him occasionally. One night really freaked her out, though. She woke up in the middle of the night feeling scared and wanted to come to our bedroom and sleep with us, as she had done many times before. However, this one night, as she was on her way to our room, she'd seen what she described as a little elf-looking person standing by my bedroom door. She said he was teasing her by sticking his tongue out at her and taunting her. She got scared and went back to her room and fell back to sleep. The next night, my two daughters went to bed, but my wife and I decided to stay up for a few hours watching TV. I was sitting on a love seat while my wife was sitting on the sofa. It's a center rug and coffee table in the middle of the living room. We're there watching TV and talking when all of a sudden I see a white mist vapor start to form from the rug. My wife isn't noticing it, she's watching TV, but I see this start to form and about 3.5 feet tall, then immediately zoom towards my wife. At that very moment, my wife quivers, saying she got the chills all of a sudden. I'm standing there like, what the hell, but I didn't say anything yet as to what I just saw because I didn't want to freak her out. A while after that, we decide to head to bed. My wife and I are lying down, and it's been about 5 minutes or so All of a sudden, we hear a mommy yelled out. I thought, oh, great, Priscilla is going to come to our bed and want to sleep with us. So we lay in wait for her, our daughter, to come into our room. And then we hear mommy again, but this time we also hear the pitter-patter of feet crossing our dining room area, the living room, and towards our bedroom. We wait and wait, and our daughter doesn't come into our room. I get up to check on her and walk to the girls' room, and they both sound asleep. My 5-year-old in her bed and her 1-year-old sister in her crib. That freaked us out. A couple years passed, and a few other minor things happened around the house at this time. For instance, the TV would change channels or turn off on its own. I'd just have to yell, stop, and it would stop. Before going to bed, I would do my normal walkthrough of the house, ensuring all doors and windows are closed and locked, and making sure all lights are off, so forth. So I'd do this, then head to bed and fall asleep. Next morning, I wake to find one of my flashlights lying on the floor in the middle of our living room, turned on. I know for a fact I would have seen a flashlight turned on while doing my walk through the house. I asked my daughter if they left a flashlight on, but they said no. Little things like this would happen occasionally. We didn't really fear what was going on, but didn't like the fact that he was messing with the girls. We believe it was the spirit of a young child. We moved about 2 years later.
I think it is the spirit of a young child. I think that 3-foot-tall kind of mist that gave the wife chills was probably the same thing calling out mommy in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was really a child or if it was something acting like a child, but it kind of seemed like the behavior of a child.
If it was a child, was it a conscious entity child, or was this just some sort of reverberation?
I don't know. Because it didn't really show any kind of intelligence. It just was kind of there.
That's where you hope it's just a reverberation.
Because,
I mean, kids are confused enough being kids. More or less being a ghost kid.
Right.
You know, that would be horrible. But, I agree. It sounds very much like it was somewhere along the lines of being a ghost child or the remnants of, if you will. So thanks for sharing that that story with us. By the way, a new episode of Seeing Ghosts out right now for our EPP members, Seeing Ghosts Episode 9. Really, really good security cam video up in this new episode. I know we talked about it a little bit the other day, but when you think security cam video, a lot of times what comes to mind, it's the black and white, kind of grainy, kind of not so great security cam.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't think it'd be anything. This is someone's personal security camera. HD video, 1280, 720 resolution. It's good.
Uh-huh.
It's very clear. It's not the old black and white, grainy, SD footage. This is very, very nice HD, clear as day. What you see is very, very bizarre.
Huh.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that because I know we mentioned security camera. Like, I should have clarified, this is really good security.
It's not like that one video that was out a few years ago.
No.
Okay.
It's just like if you had your iPhone as your security camera.
Okay.
Shooting in 4K. You know,
sure.
It's very, very good. So anyway, that's one of the videos that's up in the new episode of Seeing Ghosts. If you're not an EPP, you can become one at ghostpodcast.com and watch it on the website, ghostpodcast.com. That's where all of our EPP episodes and extras like Seeing Ghosts go to live.
Okay.
I wanted to sound kind of, it didn't sound that creepy. I was trying to think of something. Go to
die.
They don't die there. They live there.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, Taylor writes in my pretty creepy ghost story. Hey guys, my name's Taylor Markham. I live in New Hampshire, one of the most boring states in the U.S. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I've been listening for a couple of months now, even when I had a long-term concussion. I still do, just to have some entertainment. All right, here's my ghost story. Around the end of March of 2016, I was up in my bathroom, just finished showering, and started putting some products in my hair. Nobody's home besides me and my dog, Cooper. Usually listen to some music, but I turned it off long ago. I hear my dog start barking and he keeps going, which is very odd because he usually never barks. He just keeps going. Right as it hits the 5-minute mark of him barking, I hear a pretty clear and loud voice saying, Cooper, shut up. Cooper, I'll hit you. That sounded exactly like my dad's voice, which is very strange because my dad wasn't home. Soon, I finish getting ready to go downstairs and I see Cooper still barking at the corner wall. one part of the house he doesn't like. Never goes to that spot, always walks around it. So I'm pretty frightened by that this time. Go and take Cooper and bring him to my living room and sit on my couch. A couple minutes later, I hear creaking in my room where only one spot makes a creaky noise and you have to actually step on the floor to creak it. It's not easy to do that. So, of course, I'm texting my friends about it, pretty much hysterical. And soon my dad comes home. I ask him if he was home about 5 minutes ago, and he said, no, why? I told him exactly what happened. But it's not unusual. I usually feel something watching me, sometimes in my room. And my room is the creepiest part of the house, but it doesn't feel bad. It's like it's protecting me. Thanks for viewing my story. Have a great day. Sincerely, Taylor.
I wonder if it is protecting her and it just gets annoyed at the dog. if Taylor's a girl.
Sure.
It could be Taylor or a boy.
Sure. That's an interesting thought. I mean, if it's a human-esque ghost, there's humans in life who, you know, have feelings about certain animals.
Sure.
You know, some people don't like dogs, people don't like cats, or vice versa, or whatever. I suppose in death, it could probably be along the same lines.
Uh-huh.
You'd be just as annoyed. Hopefully the allergies go away.
Sure.
I look forward to that, because someday when I pass, I'm going to get a cat.
You're going to have 40 cats if you are not allergic in the afterlife.
But they're going to be real. And that's just going to make it really confusing. There'll be this pack of 40 cats.
Okay.
All just kind of running around together. And no one's going to know, well, what is keeping them together? Why do they want to stay like this? Because I'm going to be, they'll see me.
Okay.
And I'll be able to communicate with them.
Yeah.
And that's how it's all going to work.
Cool.
You know, I was thinking the other day with all the political crap that's on television right now. There is no way in hell I could ever run for anything. Even if I wanted to someday. Because you could go back and listen to these shows and you could totally take snippets of weird shit that I've said over the years.
Oh yeah, you're toast.
And make the most awesome campaign or anti-me campaign commercial where it's like, I'll have 40 cats, but I'll be a ghost.
Yeah.
He's the man who said he'd have 40 cats when he's a ghost. Tony Bruschi.
And that's not even scratching the surface of crap you've said.
Can you really trust him? Whatever. It could be very, very entertaining. I should just do it at some point in life just to see someone go and dig all of the shows up and just find the weirdest shit I've ever said. And that's the whole point of the whole run. It's just for the entertainment value of hearing crazy shit I've said over the years. Someone going having to find the greatest hits.
Don't put us through that. No.
I'll just run for something really stupid. You know, I don't know what that would be. I don't want to insult anyone's
position.
But just something, there are positions out there that people do run for that are, you know, relatively non-important in the bigger scheme of things. It wouldn't be like president or anything. Just, I have no idea.
Okay.
Something really, really low. Other than nobody's going to have, I'd win it then because no one's going to have the gumption to dig anything up. It'd have to be something big. Then they could dig it.
You're not going to run for anything big.
Damn.
Nope.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining. Alex writes, and hey guys, Alex again. I wrote in a couple weeks ago. I've been wanting to share a few more stories with you. As you know from my first story, I've been living with my grandma. About a month or so before she moved out and into a nursing home, me and my cousin would go into the living room and go to bed, but we'd find our grandma asleep in there instead of her usual bed. She'd tell us people were in her room and she couldn't sleep with these people in there who would tell her they were waiting for someone to come home. One night after this had become a common thing, we got her up and back into her own bed. She was afraid but wanted to get back to her bed, so we walked her in there and she went to sleep. As my cousin and I were getting ready for bed, we both heard a loud crash over by the back room with the steps I told you about in my last story. We were curious as hell, wondering why our grandma was up again and wandering around. So we went to investigate. All the lights were off, and it was around 2 a.m. in the morning, and no one was awake or wandering about the house, but there was stuff all over the floor. This is where I felt like it became very odd. The stuff was all over the floor, had been put up on a shelf. There was a stack of skateboards in the bottom with envelopes and other miscellaneous items on top of that. But under the stack of envelopes and DVDs were a couple of small empty cardboard boxes and a slingshot. Not to mention there was a sweatshirt hanging in front of the shelf of items. I had thought that everything on that shelf had fallen, but up closer inspection, the only things on the floor were from the middle of the stack, being the envelopes, DVDs, and so on. The empty, near weightless cupboard boxes and slingshot that were on top of that was still on the shelf. completely untouched and unmoved. I tried to recreate the situation, but every single time everything else would fall. How did the items on the shelf in the middle of the stack fall or even seem to get pulled out? Possible spirit or spirits my grandma had seen trying to make themselves known to us since we didn't originally believe her? I'm not sure. Another night, the only people in the house were my cousin and grandma. My cousin told me he had gotten her out of the shower and walked through the dark house and into the living room where my grandma had been sitting. She looked up and asked, "Who's your friend?" My cousin was extremely confused because his friends left the house before that. My grandma told him there was a tall black figure standing behind him and seemed to disappear after making itself known. They later went to bed and didn't think twice about the tall black figure. But in the morning when my cousin woke up to hang out in the back room with the computer, he had noticed the whole room was trashed. Things were thrown everywhere and everything had been knocked over. What do you guys think? I've got a lot more stories about this house. If you guys would like to hear more, please let me know. I'm a proud EPP now and listen every day. Keep up the good work.
I think there's more than one thing going on.
Okay.
I think that because the way the grandmother says there's people waiting for somebody to come home, that almost sounds like something that had happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that used to live there or something like that. But the trashing of the place and the other tall, dark figure, I don't know. That sounds worse. That doesn't sound like what she was seeing to begin with.
It's multiple things going on at once.
I think so.
It's kind of like a hotbed there for various things.
Maybe so.
I wonder if she's able to see all of them.
Yeah.
I wonder if she, and I don't want to sound mean or anything, but this is something that we do hear quite a bit of when folks are getting older.
Mm-hmm.
and towards the end of their time, of them being more sensitive.
Yeah.
To these things. So I'm wondering if there's that level of sensitivity that is picking up in her. And she's kind of seeing a lot of things you're not, and you're only seeing some of these things or experiencing some of these things when they're really making themselves known.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very intriguing. I would like to hear more about the house.
Yeah.
That would be good. Thank you for writing in. Craig writes into us, "I'm now living in Salt Lake City, Utah, but I'm from Manchester, England. My story is actually about my father, who was a security guard in an old town hall building in Manchester, England. My father was on his own and used to patrol the building. He experienced many things. On occasion, he was descending down a metal spiral staircase and felt something hit his head. His head hit the metal step. When he shone his flashlight down at the stairs, he saw a bit and washer rolling came to a stop. Another experience, he patrolled the building and closed all windows. 15 minutes later, in another patrol, he found the windows open with no one else in the building. The best experience was a team of construction workers who had come in to renovate the building. The project manager walked around the multi-story building, taking pictures of the areas that needed construction. When looking at the pictures later on a laptop, one of the construction workers inquired who he walked around with. His response was, 'No one, I was alone.' Looking fairly shocked, the worker said, 'Then who is that in the picture?' Upon viewing the image, there was a figure that looks like a woman, what appears to be 1840s wartime attire. You can see her quite clearly and can even see her legs. It looks like she has holes for eyes. The story and the picture are 100% genuine. My father completed his time at the building despite many other experiences. He was a skeptic when it came to ghosts and the afterlife, but he has now admitted that there must be something after this life. I have an amazing ghost picture if you'd like me to send it to you. You simply have to see this. It's unbelievable. If I could email it to you, that would be great. Many thanks." Yes, I would love to see that. Have you, they sent it to you by any chance?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so please do send that to us. You can email it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com or Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we would love to see that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I could see maybe that being like the feature one on a Seeing Ghosts episode, if it's as unbelievable as he says it is.
I wonder, does he have the one, though, of the woman in wartime uniform?
Is that what, I was wondering if that's what he's referring to.
It sounded to me, almost the way he said it, that it's something else.
Okay. Well, either or.
Yeah.
If you have both, that'd be great. If not, send whatever you have and let us know. And also reference this story in your email, because we'd love to see that and then share that. Tressa writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've written in before and was so happy to hear my story. And I thought I'd share another one. It's a sad story with a happy ending. My dad passed away in 2014. He had a hard life and never could quite cope with life. I watched his gradual decline for 5 years until he finally passed. I'm an only child. My parents are divorced, so responsibility for my father fell on me. He was in the hospital for 4 weeks and seeming to get better when I got a phone call that he had slipped into a coma. The nurses told me I had to come to the hospital to make some tough decisions. I decided not to let my dad live in an unnatural state, and procedures were put in place to make my dad comfortable for the remainder of his life. His family slowly arrived to say their last goodbyes. I've been long estranged from my dad's family, as he had, and found it to be too overwhelming to be surrounded by family pretending to grieve for someone they had shut out of their lives for so many years. The only person I was comfortable with was my dad's best friend, and they let him know I could not stay in the hospital any longer. I said my final goodbyes to my dad, knowing it would be the last time I saw him alive. I went home and spent the day with my mom and my husband watching movies and trying to sleep. When the phone rang, I knew. I sat on my back porch crying as my dad's best friend told me that my dad had taken his last breath. After hanging up, I felt overcome with grief for leaving my dad, so I started to talk to him. I told him I was sorry for leaving him and asked him if he could forgive me. I asked him to show me a sign that he was happy and that I had done everything right. It didn't take long. A huge gust of wind, abnormal for a mid-May, came sweeping through the yard. My dad's best friend told me he believes my dad would never have passed with me in the room, knowing it would be too difficult for me. I know my dad is looking out for me even 2 years later. Occasionally I can hear my cat chattering to the walls or rubbing up against nothing and saying, "Knock it off, Dad." Then she stops. I miss him so much, but I think he is still around.
I think so, too. And I think your dad's friend is probably right in that he might not have let go with you there.
Yeah, I think it's a very self-explanatory story. It's probably one of those things where you're exactly right. It was the best thing for the situation, and he was able to also come back and let you know he's still doing well.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with us. Amanda says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you for your podcast. Makes the workday at home go by so much faster. Last story I sent was read on December 4th, 2014. It was mainly about things happening while my bed was on a certain wall. Tony, you went into the thought that there was something in the wood that made the bed, but things happened with two different beds. The first was a metal futon. Next was a wooden bed I inherited from my great-grandmother. I have since moved to my own home and bought my great-grandmother's bed with me. Nothing has happened there. After I sent my story in 2014, my younger sister told me she heard footsteps in the hall. Then my baby sister, who's now 20, has told me several things. She's here with me now, and this is some of her experiences. One night, she was woken up around 3 a.m. She was facing the wall and turned over to face the open room. Her eyes fluttered open. She saw just the face of an African-American man at bed level, about 2 feet away from her face. They ended up just staring at each other for a few seconds. She was not afraid and went back to sleep. A few months later, circumstances happened, and my sister moved to my old bedroom, where the basis of my last story happened. Her first night in the room, she heard someone walking around in the attic above the room. I asked if it was more like a squirrel that had gotten trapped, and she said no, actual footsteps of a person. Another night, she was having a sleepover with a few friends. Next morning, one of the girls asked why our dad opened the door, stood there, and watched everyone sleep for several minutes. It's completely out of character of our dad to do. Even when we were young children, it was our mom that would check in on us during the night. After asking her parents if either one of them had checked on them, they both denied doing it. A few weeks ago, my sister was awakened again during the night. She looked up. To her right, about 2 feet from the ceiling, was a black ball flying by. She only saw it for a couple of seconds. Now, just as a reminder from the other story, when I was a teenager still living at home, I had the back bedroom that was next to the garage. Years later, my parents converted the garage area into a living space for my husband and I to live and save money. This is a bedroom that my baby sister is in now. There's about 6-foot hallway in the bedroom that used to lead to the laundry area before the apartment conversion for my husband and I. Door still closed off. The new main door to the room is further down the garage wall now. When my sister came back into the room from getting something to drink late one night, she had a scary feeling coming from the 6-foot hallway in the bedroom. This is the first time she felt scared. Her bed is not on the wall I used to avoid. We believe that is all that happened with us grown-ups at the time. My dad has said that he has seen the pictures in his bathroom vibrate. My niece living in the house has some crazy stuff going on with her, though. Now my younger sister and her family is living with my parents. We have a video of my one-and-a-half-ish-year-old niece twirling in the living room. And in the video, you can see a white ball of light start on one side of the living room and cross the living room floor. The light was not there at the time the video was taken. It was only seen after the video was reviewed. There was one more incident. One day, my 20-year-old baby sister was playing with my now 2-year-old niece. Our niece was talking to my sister, turned her attention to the opposite direction and said, "No, Aunt Kelsey, there was no one over there." The major stuff only seems to happen to the females of our home. I was in my mid-teens when it started with me, all the way through my early 20s when I moved out. Then my mom saw an image in the hallway. My younger sister heard the footsteps in the hall. My baby sister has several stories, and my niece always has orbs in her pictures and feels a need to protect my baby sister from something. Between the many orbs, flying balls, and demonic voice, I guess we may never really know what's going on at my parents' house.
It's almost like each one of them have something different haunting them.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many things there, and they all have experiences and different kinds of experiences. And, you know, anything from the African-American man that one of them saw to the ball of light that follows the baby girl around. I mean, there's just something attached to each one of them.
And it sounds like something unique to each one of them, which could be confusing because I think a lot of times we tend to jump to, if it's in the same general location, oh, it's something, it's the same thing for everybody.
No. Yeah.
I think that might not be the case there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Something really neat that a listener sent in to me the other day. There's a Wikipedia for everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wiki this, a wiki that, and there's a wiki for unsolved mysteries.
Oh, really?
And someone sent me the bunk bed story.
Okay.
And it gives kind of the synopsis of it. It also talks about, you know, if there's any investigations that were ever done, and much more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
Than just what the story was. And I just thought it was really interesting.
That's cool.
And all those stories are up there. All the old ghosts, everything. Anything ever on Unsolved Mysteries, you can see the status of.
Okay.
On this wiki site. So it's just kind of cool for anyone out there, because I know a lot of our listeners enjoy the old Unsolved Mysteries. Might be worth Googling and checking out. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you like the show, please help us stay on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. That's the website for that. Get all 100-some bonus episodes, exclusive video content, that new episode of Seeing Ghosts up there, and a whole lot more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com, and help keep this thing alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.